The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Hey, welcome everyone. Hope you had a great weekend. I had an interesting weekend. And, you know, I graduated from seminary in 1991, and one of my old professors was up here in Boise, Idaho area doing some talks on worship and things like that. And I went and saw him, and this is 30 years ago. 30 years ago. So I see him in a room. I got there during a lunch period at this one church. And so, you know, a couple hundred people are in a room eating. And he and his wife are sitting there by a table. And I went, you know, I hope he remembers me. So I walk over. He was looking to his left. And to his right was a chair. And I just sat there. He turns back. He looks at me. And the first thing he says is, "Matt Slick." And I'm laughing. And he says, "Yeah, I talk about you." And I'm like, uh-oh, I don't know what to ask. But then we had a good time talking. He definitely remembered me for 30 years. How about that? And so he was telling people. He told me what it was about. He said people, when he goes to talk, he goes, "I'll mention how you chase Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, and all this kind of stuff." And so we're smiling, having a good time. So that was a treat for me, you know, to be able to see an old seminary professor. And he remembers who I am. Like I said, don't know if that's good or bad, you know, because as my wife likes to describe me, he's memorable. And so, well, praise God for that. Hey, look, we have five open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. If you are interested in supporting this ministry, which is, you know, we always need support, all you got to do is go to carm.org. /donate, and you know, it'll take you to where you need to go. And we just ask $5 or $10 a month. Hopefully that's not too much, and it just helps, because the more supporters we have, of course, the more we can do. And then of course we can make budgets and things like that too. That helps. And we've got a full-time missionary in Turkey, full-time missionary in Brazil, and we have a full-time missionary in Colombia. We have a full-time guy in Salt Lake City, and you know, so hope Luke is listening. Hey, Luke, how you doing, buddy? And so my wife's full-time. Well, it's half-time, I guess, and I'm full-time, of course. And we have some volunteers here and there, and it's been a lot of work and a huge pleasure to do this ministry. If you're a first-time listener, excuse me. My last name really is Slick, S-L-I-C-K, born with it, and I'm a Christian apologist, which means I defend the Christian faith and answer questions on the Bible, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity, Baha'i, Islam, atheism, UFOs, the occult, Christian theology, all kinds of stuff. We've been discussing a lot of politics lately. I've been doing a great deal of research on COVID, and there's more to go. And I've released some articles recently. You can go to carm.org/COVID and get some of the documentation. And it's really interesting what I am finding out about COVID and some other things, too. So there you go. All right. So why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Michael from Raleigh, North Carolina. Michael, welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, Matt. My question is, I have heard preachers say that God doesn't listen to sinners. Like, if you're a sinner and you pray to God, let's say you pray for a house and you're in sin and you're doing sin that you know you're doing, that he won't answer that prayer. But I thought I read somewhere in the Bible where the devil basically asked God if he could attack Job, and God let him do it. So if God would allow Satan to basically have a request and he granted, then why wouldn't he do the same thing for a human who is a sinner, is my question.
Well, there's different ways to look at this. One, God hears the prayers of all people because he's omniscient and he's omnipresent. So there's no prayer that is not understood or heard by the Lord. And the question then becomes, does he answer all prayers? Well, in one sense, absolutely yes. He answers every one of them. It's yes, no, or wait. So the answer is always there, and the answer is according to God's will. So if you're a Christian, well, let me put it this way. If you're a non-Christian and you're asking for something of God, like a Mormon or Jehovah's Witness, maybe a hardcore Roman Catholic, and they're asking for false things, then God is not obligated in any way to answer them. And if he does do something in their lives that coincidentally is along with what they were asking, then it would be because God is doing something that they coincidentally were doing. God wants our prayers to be sanctified through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is, because he is our mediator, 1 Timothy 2:5, and he's our high priest. Hebrews 6:20 and 7:25, he's our high priest who lives forever to make intercession for us. So as a Christian, when we pray, our prayers are always heard by God. But even the Christian prayers does not mean that we're going to get the answer the way we want. And I'm quite thankful for that, actually, over the years, as I look back on a few things. I'm quite grateful that God did not answer me my prayers the way I wanted them to be answered. Because my wisdom is, let's just say, lacking in a lot of areas. So nevertheless, does God hear our prayers? Absolutely. Does he answer them? Yes, he does. Yes, no, or wait. But the answer really is, when a preacher says, well, if you are in sin as a Christian, is God going to answer your prayers? You know, normally speaking, you know, you ask for food on the table and a new job and things like this, and just basics that God already wants to provide for us. And you say, Lord, I'm committing adultery, but would you please help me with this and this? He often will turn his back and will not help his children who are in open rebellion against him. In fact, what he'll often do is let the consequences of their sin come upon them, and then when they're broken and humble in repentance, then God moves them. So a lot of times, or he moves to help them, a lot of times God will not answer prayers so that we are broken more, so that we depend on God more in humility. And since the whole thing gets really complicated. So basically, God hears the prayers of his Christians, because all the prayers of Christians are filtered through the blood of Jesus Christ, and so they're purified. But if we are in open rebellion against God, then don't expect God to answer timely and in a way that we would hope, but he might do something in a different way. So there are variables in there, but that's basically it. Okay?
Okay. Okay, Matt. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Sure. Hope that helps. All right?
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
All right, man. God bless. Hey, we have open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Michael from New Jersey, welcome. You are on the air.
Hello, Matt. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing all right, man. So what do you got, buddy?
Right now, I'm working on a religious exemption for the vaccine at my job.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, if they're saying if I don't get the vaccine, I am fired unless I can get this religious exemption. Now, I've been racking my brain the past couple of weeks trying to figure out all the different angles, and I'm wondering what would be your first line of defense against it.
I will not participate in medicines that used aborted human babies for the development of those medicines or the testing of the medicines. It's unethical. It goes against the Nuremberg Code, for one thing, and which is a secular thing. But I would just tell people, and I have the documentation on my website. If you go through and look, just karm.org/COVID, you'll find there's documentation on which of the vaccines used aborted fetal material. And I don't want to misrepresent them, so let me go here and look, because I want to make sure I represent them correctly. Let's see. I think. Okay.
Yeah,
COVID vaccine comparison. Yeah, COVID vaccine comparison, and I'm going to be doing a lot more research on it. And so the ones that, so Johnson & Johnson used abortion-derived cell tissue in the development and production of the vaccine, and as did Moderna. Some lab tests used abortive cells, some do not, and also on the Pfizer, the same thing applies to them. So in all ethical, Christian ethics, we don't want to use. It's like the Nazis. They took Jews
exactly. And
they experimented on the Jews, and they gained medical knowledge. Do we use that knowledge gained by the atrocities of the Nazis? I would say, you know what? I don't want anything to do with it. I don't want anything to do with it. And I don't want anything to do with supporting in any way killing babies so that others can benefit. This is not good. There's also, I'm going to be working on this as a theory on the issue of self-defense, that rejecting the COVID vaccine, if you choose to do that, could be a form of self-defense. Because there's growing evidence now that they're breakthrough, called breakthrough infections. So people get vaccinated, and then the breakthrough infections are sometimes worse. And if you go on my website, you'll see also I did a graph of some issues dealing with the number of countries, the countries that are more, how do I say this, that are more have more percentage of the vaccinations in their population. The more that there are, the more COVID deaths there are. And it's not a one-for-one exact relationship, but you can see it. And COVID vaccine effectiveness and percentages of death in a population. And so I did that, and you can see the graph. That's there in a logarithmic a trend line that shows the progression. So, you know, there's that. And if you go to your church, then, you know, the elders of the church need to be involved already with the idea of providing religious exemptions. But what's probably going to happen is the government, in its totalitarian, left-leaning hypocrisy, is going to start to force people to get vaccines. And if you don't have them, you won't be able to provide for your family. And this is oppressive, it's totalitarian, it's fascist, it's communist, and this is what's moving in our country now. So I don't know what's going to happen. But I certainly do not like the trend that is occurring. So, by the way, I need to work on this tonight. I do have a lot of information on, not a lot, but I have some information on exemptions and things like that. And I'm just buried, I'm just buried with the stuff I'm doing. So there's also something called the immunity debt, that the idea, there's another thing of self-defense, which I'll have to write in this article. Immunity debt is an issue where a population is less exposed to germs because of certain methods they take, which prepares the way for a worse germ later on to come through to a population that's less infected and less prepared, so there's greater pandemic. All right, buddy? I'm going to get going.
Thank you very much.
All right, man. God bless. Hey, folks, four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back to the show, everyone. Let's get to Devin from Nampa, Idaho. Wow, right here where I live. Hey, Devin. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how are you doing?
Good. Have we met?
Actually, we did at the Walmart not too long ago. It was like
That's right. You and your wife. That's right. I was walking, turning to my right down an aisle, and you called. Yes, I remember that. How are you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm doing okay.
All right.
So I was just curious, because I know that you've been researching COVID and everything like that.
Yep.
And listening to what you were saying to that one caller before the break, it's kind of a little bit worrisome, though, because unfortunately I have COVID. Mm-hmm. But
you have it now?
Yeah, but it's been like 10 days, and I think that it's supposed to be working its way out of my system.
Yeah.
But I'm doing fine. I'm recovering and everything. My symptoms were not nearly as bad as I thought they'd be, so I'm doing okay. But my question was essentially, so with your researching and everything like that, has your research essentially lined up pretty much with what the medical experts are saying, or have you found like contradictory type stuff? Because I've heard so many different things, and I'm just, you know, curious.
I'm finding contradictory information.
Well,
that's what,
like,
I'm finding. Yeah.
Oh, you are finding contradictory information?
Absolutely. Yes, I am. In fact, VIRS, I went and looked there, and their information has slightly changed. I find contradictory information between different sites. Like, if you go to CDC, for example, it's just, rainbows and Jell-O, great, everything's nice, about the vaccines. And you go to other sources, and there are anecdotal evidences, stories, accounts of people having severe reactions. Well, we understand that there is a risk factor to all vaccines. I understand that. But this seems to be inordinate, and I don't trust it personally. This is my opinion. And so I don't, I have to say this on our website, and I'll say it here. Anything I say is not to be taken for medical advice. You make your own decisions. I'm not responsible for what people do, but I don't want anything to do with it myself. I don't trust it from what I've seen. But I know people who've had it, and they're fine. So, okay, that's fine. And I'm not knocking them. That's their decision. But I want nothing to do with it. And I'm trying to make contact with medical personnel, and it looks like it's going to be happening. And I'll have to keep them anonymous, who know stuff and have seen stuff. There's misrepresentation, misdiagnoses. At a Bible study last night, we had a guy, not last night, but last week, we had a guy tell us that his uncle, it was he or his friend's uncle, died of heart failure, and they put COVID death on the certificate. It turns out that there's a monetary reward to hospitals for the COVID deaths, and for every vaccine, I should say, that they get, an extra bit of money that comes in. So how do you filter through all of this stuff? I don't know. And I'm still trying. And here's the big question I have. The government wants us to put a medicine into our body, when before, the same government would say it's okay to kill the babies in your body for the women. And they say, my body, my choice. That was the slogan. Now, all of a sudden, that's done away with, because, nope, it's not your body. You need to take this vaccine, and if you don't, you're going to lose your job. Now, this is totalitarianism. It's bad news. That's not what the federal government is supposed to be doing. This is an illegal thing, according to the Constitution, that the states are the ones who have the power, and the federal government is not supposed to be in power like that. So Biden is way overstepping his powers and his office, and nobody's really doing anything about this. So here's a question. Why is Biden, who wants to force people all over to take the vaccine because it's so necessary, why does the same jerk open up the southern borders and let hundreds of thousands of people come in unvaccinated? The hypocrisy is rampant. It's incredible. Now, I'm going to say something because I'm working on an article dealing with that. But the Spirit explicitly says that in the latter times, some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons, and by means of the hypocrisy of liars, seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Hypocrisy is a form of lying. It's a form of lying. And this is what the Bible says about lying. But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and immoral persons and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So this is a serious issue that we're undergoing in our country. And the Christians need to stand up and stand on the Word of God to say, no, I'm not going to put up with this crap. And if they don't, it'll get to the point where we're not going to be allowed to have church meetings. Because people think I'm overreactionary, but I just know how things go. You got to think about this. Society has a momentum. And it takes, and the longer the momentum increases in a certain direction, the harder it is to move it. And if it's going downhill, as it is, then it's going to go downhill at the hands and the guidance of the leftists. And the leftists are the ones in power. It's they say they uphold the Constitution, yet they don't. They trample it underfoot, and then pressure states to comply with the demand of the federal government. That's against the Constitution. They feign moral superiority as they tell us to wear masks for our own good, then fail to comply with their own proclamations at parties and self-praise functions until cameras face our directions. I'm reading out of one of my articles I'll be releasing soon. They push vaccines on everyone, yet they illegally open the southern borders and let hundreds of thousands of non-vaccinated people to our country, only to ship them to conservative states. They bring the National Guard into D.C. to protect themselves, yet did nothing to stop the BLM and Antifa from burning many cities. They move to restrict our gun rights, yet they hire private unarmed security to protect themselves. They impeach Donald Trump for a single phone call, yet they ignore Biden's hideous abandonment of our people in Afghanistan that cost American lives and armed our enemies with $85 billion in American weapons. So this is what we're up against. Society has a momentum, and when the people who are ungodly are in control, they will not stop at your front door. They will never stop at your front door. They'll continue as far as they can until you are in complete subjection. It's a form of Islam that does the same thing. That the Islam is an oppressive religious system that wants Sharia. And it's the leftist Sharia that they want. They want to be in control, which is why they're trying to flood illegals into the country to get them to vote leftist. And so socialism can be put in, and also to fix it so that there's only a one-party system from then on out. This is the foundation of totalitarianism and oppression. This is what's going on. So, and COVID is being used for this. Okay? You want to hold, or are we done? Sorry, man.
I guess we're done.
Okay, Devin. God bless, buddy. It was nice meeting you in the store, too. All right. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome to the show, everyone. Let's get to Brent from Iowa. Brent, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I just got to have a follow-up, another COVID fan base question here for you. Mm-hmm. But in regards to one of the previous callers, you had mentioned that some of the COVID vaccines are used aborted baby tissue in order to make that vaccine. The area that my wife and I are trying to figure out is we have some young kids, and we've basically been going through a lot of the other vaccines, the polio, the MMR, the double ones. And from what I guess we've gathered is it appears that a lot of those also kind of have their foundations using with aborted babies. And so we're kind of wondering how we logically, do you have to come anti-vax in every area? Or can you reject the COVID vaccine and still be logically consistent with it? Maybe it's a suggestion, when you do your research to maybe look into that. Or does that kind of make sense of still wanting to remain logical but not?
Sure.
It's more of I know there's a whole other host of issues. With existing vaccines, they have a lot more track record. Like you mentioned, the VAERS reporting is a lot less on those. There's lots of other reasons, but they're not necessarily what I would consider religious exemption, if that makes sense. So.
Yeah, there's some issues there, and I don't know about the other vaccines. I've never had to study this stuff before. As a Christian apologist, I do theology. And now this is rearing its ugly head, and I'm having to jump into an area that I'm not really an expert at or trained in. But, you know, that's just how it is. I've got to study. So if the polio ones are presently using aborted fetal tissue, then I don't want them. And this is just me. I don't want to benefit from the death and torture of others. And that's just my personal opinion. So, you know, the question is, are they? Because when I was young, I mean, I'm almost 65. When I was young, I remember going to get different vaccines. And I was knee-high to whatever. And, you know, it's not my choice at that point. You don't know anything. You just get it done. So I don't think they used aborted tissue at that point. So, you know, as far as contemporary usage and development, I don't know. I'm going to have to check that out, too.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, our research might have been a little bit misguided as well, but I would be interested if you do come across that or any more information in regards to that. I'd be interested in what you find in that. If you post an article or something, I'll keep my eye out for it. So,
okay.
Thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
All right, Matt. God bless. Okay. All right, let's get to Kim from Rural Hall, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Matt, my question is, do they have a test that can determine the antibody that you have in your body?
Yes.
And how many do you need to fight the COVID?
I don't know. I have no idea about that. I'm going to close it, turn my phone down here. Let's see. I have no idea about that. And I just don't know what's necessary. But, yeah, they do have tests. That's all I can tell you. They have tests.
But if they give you a test and they show you have enough antibodies to fight it, then you don't have to take the vaccine.
Well, that would make sense, since natural immunity is 13 times stronger than the vaccines. So why would you be forced to take it if you've already had COVID and you've recovered? You have permanent benefit from it. And where the vaccines don't necessarily provide that same permanence. And that's why they're talking about having boosters. Because after about 6 months to a year, from what I've read, the effectiveness of the vaccines decreases, which is why they're talking about second and third booster. Why? You don't need second and third for measles and chickenpox. So I don't get it. To me, it's just 1984, the movie, the novel 1984, which I recommend people read. That's what I think is going on. But I think it's a control thing.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm not anti-vax either. I mean, I have no problem with them. I just don't like the COVID one. I don't trust it. That's all. Go ahead.
So could you request a test to test your antibody?
Sure. Yeah. Just do research around, you know, wherever you get antibody tests and find out where you go and go get it tested. Talk to your doctor and see, you know. And go get tested. And just remember, all my information and everything I say in the radio is not to be taken as legal advice or medical advice. It's just, well, I'm going to just say this, is for entertainment and information purposes only. Okay?
Okay. Well, thank you, Matt. God bless you.
God bless you, man. All right. Okay, let's get to Ann from Iowa. Ann, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I have a question about mediums.
Mm-hmm.
How are they able to connect with people who have passed on?
They don't. There are what's called familiar spirits, and they're demonic forces that imitate past people. And so the mediums are actually in contact with demonic forces. And they're called familiar spirits, like I said, and they can imitate, and they have information. Because in the spiritual realm, they're very powerful, very knowledgeable. And that's all that's going on. Okay.
That's what I wondered. Okay, thank you. That was all I needed to know.
Okay, you're welcome. All right, well, God bless. Okay.
All right, God bless you too.
God bless. Hey, folks, you want to call me? We have four open lines, 877-207-2276. Give me a call. Let's get to Jacob from Wisconsin. Jacob, welcome. You're on the air.
What's the biggest form of church government? Is it congregational or Presbyterian?
Church government is Presbyterian.
So do you have some scriptures, good scriptures to demonstrate
yes.
that?
Yes, it's 1 Timothy 5:17 and 18. I can read it to you really quickly. For one thing, 1 Timothy. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while it is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his hire. Now that's 1 Timothy 5, 17 and 18. When you go to 1 Timothy chapter 3, it talks about the overseers, which is episkopos. And episkopos and presbyteros, elder, are used interchangeably in the scriptures. So he must be the husband of one wife, temperate, prudent, respectful, hospitable, able to teach, not addicted to much wine or to wine at all, not pugnacious, gentle, peaceable, free from the love of money, controls his own household well, keeping his children under control with all dignity. If he cannot manage his own household, how can he take care of the church of God? And so there, that's that. And then Titus says the same thing. And he says in verse Titus 1:5, Paul says, "Left you for this reason, I left you in Crete, that you would set in order what remains and appoint elders in every city as I directed you. If a man is above reproach, the husband of one wife, having children who believe, etc." And he goes on, and I read the same kind of stuff, and it says that he be able both to exhort in sound doctrine and refute those who contradict. And so the elders are the ones who are supposed to rule in the church. And the elders cannot be females, period. So that is the system that's the Bible set up. It's not congregational where they vote. That's not it. It's elder rule. And that's why we get Presbyterianism, because the Greek presbyteros, which is the Greek word for elder, elder ruled, elder run. That's how it's set up. And also in First Timothy 3, where I was reading from earlier, in verse 15, Paul says he's giving instruction on how the church of God is to behave itself in the household of God. He's specifically giving instructions. So, congregational by vote? Nope, not the biblical model. Okay, elder run. All right.
So is Acts 4, is that another verse that supports?
Is what?
Acts 16:4. Could that be another verse to support?
They were delivering decrees which had been decided on by the apostles and elders who were Jerusalem for them. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, it's supportive of that. Mm-hmm. The elders are the ones who are raised up, have hands laid on them. They're the ones who are supposed to be knowledgeable in the faith. If you get a church that starts up and then you do something diabolical, like get everybody in by giving them a free TV drawing out of the church, you know, which happens here locally a few years back in a church area. And then you get a bunch of unbelievers come in and they like that kind of mentality. And then they have a congregational vote about women pastors. Well, they don't know jack crud about biblical theology for the most part. So you get an uneducated body who votes in things when they don't know what's going on. This is why the elders are instructed to know doctrine and be able to refute error and teach it. They must know their stuff. Most elders I've encountered, or a lot of them, I should say, don't know. So this is why it's Presbyterian is the biblical form of government. Okay? You want to hold or are we done?
Yes, I'll hold.
Okay. Hey, folks, we have one open line, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, well, welcome back to the show. Let's get back on the air with, I got all this stuff going on here. Oh, there we go. With Ann from Iowa. Hey, Ann, welcome back.
Hi, Matt. Hi. I just have a couple more questions about the mediums. I've never been to one.
Okay.
But my niece has it. So if they are dynamic, why? How do how do they make people feel better when they go to mediums? Like, my niece went to a medium because she lost her fiance in a terrible motorcycle accident. Mm-hmm. And the medium said that she needed to let him go, that she was preventing him from
moving on,
you know, moving forward. Yeah. In his afterlife.
Yeah. It's psychological manipulation. People who do this for a living know how to play on the emotions of others, and they also study body language. You know, I have slight autism, you know, and I've had to learn body language over the years to kind of compensate. And so I know that, mm-hmm, you can manipulate people by body language. There's really quite a bit you can do. People don't know that, but it is the case. So if you can do that, read body language as well as say the right thing, see how people respond, you can head in the right direction, and you can make people feel better. As long as you can also offer what's called non-falsifiable statements. You can't prove the statement's false. You can't prove them true, but they are comforting. You know, if you just let go and understand that the great divine principle that's out there has worked this, and even though it's hard for us, if you let it go, you'll have a peace in your heart, and you'll know that person's onto a better place. That's what you do. Just say stuff like that. And then, you know, $20
please. Right. And they make, that's how they make their living. Yeah,
yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, you can do that. Yeah.
Do our loved ones who've passed on, can they still be here to communicate with us?
No.
Or give us certain feelings? So when people say, I know my mother's here with me, they're not. Once they enter heaven, then that's where they are.
That's where they are.
Okay.
And so there is an instance in 1 Samuel 28 where Samuel actually came back. And you got to read it. It's called The Witch of Endor. She's a medium. And Saul went in to seek the witch to get counsel. And the real Samuel, mm-hmm, showed up. And he got, Saul was frightened by this, as was the medium. And that's the, mm-hmm, exception. So what we want to say generically is, no, we don't want to say that that is the case. Now, I need to also say, nothing in the scripture says it can't happen in that strict sense. But we do go to, we go to Luke 16:19-31, Jesus talks about Lazarus and a rich man who died. They both went over, and they couldn't come back. They couldn't do that. And that's what we understand. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to stick with that and just say, nope, they don't come back. And if, you know, Aunt Martha visited you and you feel better, well, then you're more in line to trust these feelings and this occult stuff rather than the Word of God. And this is where the demonic forces can do this manipulatively. Okay?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome very much. All right. God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Let's get to Jan from North Carolina. Jan, welcome. You're on the air.
Thanks, Matt. How you doing?
Doing all right. Hanging in there. What do you got?
Great. Well, I'm calling because I heard the gentleman who called in earlier, mm-hmm, regarding vaccine exemptions and trying to decide how he could accomplish that.
Right.
And I just wanted to share that I had seen a talk by America's Frontline Doctors, and they have some folks who are going around the country trying to help people with things like this. But she was saying, Dr. Simone Gold was saying that it's effective if you can get like-minded people to resist with you, and I don't know what his work situation is.
Yeah.
But she happened to be talking to a group of firefighters who did not want to take the jab, and she was saying, if you all go together and just say, we're not doing it, you know.
That's the way to do it, yeah.
That could be very effective.
Right.
So, and she has, on her website, she's got a selection that says it helps you find people who are like-minded. So I didn't know if that might help him or not.
Well, if you could send me the information to info@carm.org, then I could put up references and things like that. So and resources, because this is becoming a huge thing. And the more I look into it, the more I'm convinced that it's a control issue. That's my opinion.
Absolutely.
It's a control issue, and the control will lead to the reduction of our freedom in Christ. that we're going to have in this country.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm interested in it. And that's why I'm fighting against it. I'm not against vaccines. Take vaccines, damn. Okay. But this one, I don't trust the COVID one. I don't trust it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just me.
Okay. Okay. Well, thanks. I will send me the info. What is it again?
Info
at Carm?
Yeah, info at Carm, C-A-R-M .org. All right?
Okay. All right. Thanks,
Jan. Uh-huh. All right. Let's get to John from Wisconsin. John, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Matt. God bless you.
God bless you.
Let me start this off by saying I never really wanted that COVID shot, albeit I went and got it under pressure.
It sucked.
I didn't have to, but I did. And I think I got the, I forgot what brand it was. But, and you probably know me, Matt. You probably don't recognize my voice, but do you remember the chat room we were in? My nick was Barjona, if you remember that.
Yeah, your voice is very familiar. I was just noticing, oh, wait a minute, I heard that voice before.
Thank you.
Yeah, but I remember.
On Father's Day, what is it, June 20th or 21st, whatever it was, after the shot, I was laying in my bed with my phone going through a few things, and then my arm felt kind of like the left arm. Well, anyway, I went to sleep, and let me back that up. I had the shot about 5 days before Father's Day. I noticed there was something wrong in my arm. It felt like it was paralyzed when I woke up the next morning. Well, I thought it was from sleeping. That's what I attributed it to. Well, on Father's Day, I think it was June 20th or 21st, I was laying there in the evening just getting ready to text, and my leg fell off the bed. And then my buttock, the left side, fell off the bed, and my whole body fell off the bed. And I was laying on the floor paralyzed. Well, I didn't know what to do, but I finally thought, hey, let me call. I used the Siri, and I asked them to call 911. It did. About 5 minutes later, they were there. But the point is, it was a stroke. And
I
don't want to say the stroke was attributed to the COVID shot, but it's very coincidental that I never had a health problem in my life anywhere, until I took that COVID shot.
Wow.
I spent a month in the hospital, Matt. I was in treatment the whole bit. And it's funny how things like that work out. I'm sorry, what?
Could you email me, at info@carm.org? What I'm going to ask you and others to do is, if you have stories like this, to email, write them out, and I'm going to put up some articles and, a disclaimer, say these are not verified. These are, I'll use like a person's first name, or they can say what name they want me to use or not use. But I'm not going to, give anybody's information up. So they can put stories up.
Yeah, you know what piqued my interest in this is when you mentioned that the hospitals and the doctors got a monetary kickback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that really hit on me because when I asked the doctor, I said, tell me plain, was this caused by that COVID shot, the reaction to the COVID shot? He kind of, no, and he looked away. And I'm thinking, oh, boy. And that's where I sit with it. Now I got more treatment. I got 2 weeks of this test and all that stuff coming up in my heart a whole bit. So the whole point is that I got a funny hunch, sneaking suspicion that both of these are related, Matt. It's something for your viewers and listeners to know and consider, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my story. I mean, I just adding to this. I don't want to condemn it. I don't know that much about it, but I'm just telling you what happened to me and the closeness of the coincidence. So, if people hear this, and they can put that in their pack of tools and go with it. Whether they want to get a shot or not get a shot.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's right.
So anyway, I thought I would just bring that up to you and just also to tell you, miss you on Pell Talk. I haven't seen you in a while. So maybe in the future we can look forward to that.
Yeah, I go there every now and then, and they still remember me over there, and I usually am insulted within the first minute of being in there.
You can tell when you're job is when they insult you.
Well, I get insulted a lot, but I do a lot on Discord now. But, I'll go in back into Pal Talk in the next day or two, okay?
Well, God bless you, Matt, and I hope to see you there, and I hope that people take heed. Not that it's a determining criteria. I'm not a doctor or anything close to it, but it's okay. My observation of that dilemma right now.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. God bless. All right.
God bless you, too.
Okay. Bye-bye. Yeah, I recognize that guy's voice. Let's get to Jacob from Wisconsin. Jacob, welcome. You're on the air.
So are the three ones, like the biblical offices, would be like a teaching elder, ruling elder, and deacon?
That doesn't say that in the scriptures, except in 1 Timothy 5:17, it says the elders who rule well, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. So it looks like there's just one office called elders, and they should be qualified to be able to preach and teach. There's another office called deacon. But it's not a problem in a church having a teaching elder or counseling elder. It's just a focus that they would work on. It's not a problem to say that.
So, like, in Presbyterian government, there's also, like, they have the General Assembly and Session and Presbyterian mm-hmm. and all this stuff.
Yep.
So there's also scripture to support all that stuff?
I don't know. You could go to Acts 15, where the elders met as a general assembly, and so they take that principle that's out there and use it. And so it's used in different kinds of governments, church governments. But the Presbyterian one is the biblical one. Sorry, but that's what it is, because that's how the church is to be set up.
Would you recommend the form of Presbyterian church government that was put out by the Westminster Assembly?
I don't know. Haven't checked it, so don't know.
That's like the defining document of Presbyterian. You know, like the Westminster Confession, the Catechism, and all that stuff.
Right. The WCF is pretty stinking good. And, I've gone through it back when I was in seminary and gone through Presbytery sessions and things like that. It seems to be pretty good, but it's been so long that I can't remember. I just know that the Presbyterian model is the one set up in the Bible.
Had one other quick question.
Sure.
How do you respond to the dispensationalists when they use Revelation 3:10 for a preacher of rapture proof text?
Revelation 3:10, protect you from the hour. The hour of testing, which has come upon the whole world, which is about to come on. I'd say that doesn't mean that it's a rapture. We're out of time, so they take it out of context. But call back tomorrow about it, okay? All right. As well as Thomas, local physician, please call back tomorrow. And Terry, also from Utah. We'll talk to you guys later. God bless. And by his grace, back on here tomorrow. Talk to you then. See you. Bye.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.